Session number 20589, Reel 10.
Reel 10, R. Whitmore. So, did you get a demob suit?
Terrible thing.
What was it like?
Didn't fit. The jacket was tight, the trousers, it was terrible. I think they, by the time we became demobbed, I think they had lowered the standards of the clothing quite a lot. I picked up two shirts and got shaved it out. Only one shirt. And I think they lowered the standards quite a lot.
Where did you collect your demob suit? Was it a...
In the same... You went round the circuit. You had all your... I still got the papers now. You had a book. And as you went round, they stamped it, tore bits out, signed it. And then you were out of the army. And then you would... signed for your clothing, and well, it was very quick. But as I say, they had lowered the standard of clothing. It was terrible stuff.
Were you tempted to stay on as a regular? Or?
Yes. But... in the first place, any children we may have had at that time wouldn't have had a proper education. They'd have been moving around. My wife definitely didn't want me to sign on. But and thirdly, there are some people in the army that I didn't wish to live with. So, all in all, I came out.
What sorts of people were those that you didn't wish to live with?
Well, certain types. They were all right as far as they was concerned, but, no, some people were very nice, some people weren't. Mm. They were just nasty. Mm.
So how easy was it to find employment then?
Well, all I had ever done of any worth was, I had 3 months leave with pay, and my wife and I went to different places, holidays you might say, and I suppose I started work in about the September. Mm-hmm. All I knew.
How did you go about finding a job?
Well, there were plenty of jobs about, but other than the motor car factory, they were just cheap labour. And I was hoping to, all I'd ever done of any consequence was worked in the bakery with my father. My father was a baker by trade. And I went to a bakery up North Oxford, and I was hoping to study at night school to become really, really qualified. But all they wanted was cheap labour. So I stayed there.
Sorry, you stayed where?
At the bakery. Right. For about 7 months. Might have been 9 months. And then I went to another place and they were the same. So we were living in, by then we had a baby. That's the older one, the one that's, and I went to the Morris Motors, on Morris Motors assembly line. That's the only thing I could do, was to go there and earn money on piecework. And we eventually saved up a deposit for a house. And then something cropped up that we didn't quite have the money for the house we wanted. So that's how we came to be here. Been here 48 years. And we saved up the deposit. Of course, my wife had saved quite a lot of money, because in Palestine, I was a sergeant by then, and she used to put the Mara's 11th straight into the bank every month, in the post office. She had a good job in Oxford, secretarial work like, and so we saved a little bit, and that's how we come to have a deposit for this place. We've been here ever since. Had the two children here, and brought them up here, and they went to grammar school, and so I was determined that they'd get a better education than ever I had, or better opportunities.
Yes. Yes. How difficult was it coming back to civilian life? It was very different, wasn't it?
Well, I think I was like most people. I was so glad that I had survived more or less 100% unscathed. So glad, and I was born and bred in this area. That I just seemed to settle back in again.
What were people's reactions like to you? Because I mean, they knew you'd gone off as a sort of young lad, and you'd come back as a sort of a man, having seen the world and so on. You know.
Well, I never mentioned it. I don't think anybody I ever worked with knew. I mean, they knew that people was being demobbed from the army, from the forces. And I know one place, the first place I went to work after I came out, one man that had been there years and years, thought I wanted to steal his job. I said, I don't want your job. I said, what gives you that idea? Well, he said, all you young blokes coming out of the forces, he said, all taking our jobs away. I said, I don't want a job. I said, I'm leaving here very soon. But other than that, I never came up against anything at all. I will say one thing, though. At Morris Motors at that time, they seemed to keep, it was my impression that they, when you always seemed to find yourself with people that had been in the forces, and the people that hadn't been in the forces, they found themselves in groups.
Did people who hadn't been in the forces, did they ever ask you about what you'd done during the
war? No.
Did the people who had been in the forces, did they ask you what you'd done and where you'd been?
No, you might, just in passing, not really.
So you left it all behind, just like that?
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's always in your mind, but other people, they had done their own thing.
Did you keep in touch with the regiment at all?
Oh, through reunions, yes, yeah.
From?
Reunions, and
from that time in the 50s?
and newsletters.
Yeah, you kept in touch even in the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
So you've always been in touch.
Up to this day, yes.
Mm. How important is the regiment to you?
Well, I suppose you can. I don't know, I never thought about it, but I mean,
it's been part of your life for a long time.
Yeah. I go to reunions and I suppose they get less and less every year. I suppose the people there think the same as I do, and you're glad you did your bit. Most of us did our best. I suppose you're glad you survived, I suppose.
Do you meet many people at the reunions who are actually perhaps in your platoon or your company?
Not now, no. Years ago, I've known as many as 20 to be at a reunion that were in the same company, but now I don't see anyone. There's people I know, acquaintances that I know through going to reunions that was in the same regiment, but I'm one of the youngest, I suppose, and it's gradually got less and less every year.
What do you think the sort of mental effects of you having gone to war are on you, or have been on you during your life?
It's something always in the back of your mind. And I should say that it enters you, or as far as I'm concerned, no matter what I've done throughout my working life, and I've now been retired 10 years, I should say it enters my head every day.
What sort of thoughts?
Just general, this could have happened, or that shouldn't have happened, or if you'd have done this, that wouldn't have happened, if I'd have went that way, I'd have been killed, if I'd have went that way, I'd have been all right, you know. I suppose that's general, isn't it? Is things that could have happened and things that did happen that shouldn't have happened and all that kind of thing.
Do you think about your sort of comrades?
Oh yes. In fact, I haven't been to see her for 6 months, but there's one of them that was killed. I go to see his widow. Abingdon, but I haven't been for 6 months, so I will give her a ring. Oh, yes. Yes, oh, yes. I think of them quite a lot.
Do you think you were at all mentally damaged by any of the horrible things you saw?
At so young an age, well, I wasn't the only one, I wasn't the only youngster. Mentally damaged, I don't think so. I think it's because I think about it. I don't know, I don't think I'm mentally damaged in as much as I wake up having nightmares. I've never had a nightmare. Nothing like that, no.
Do you think it had a physical effect on you?
No, I don't think so. I think I always felt pretty fit until, well, I was pretty fit, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, that's the end of my list of questions. Have you got anything else you want to say or remembered?
No. Just I've never been through it all before at one go. Maybe I've left some things out. I almost left the rice roll out, didn't I? And that was a very important.
Has it been at all sort of harrowing to have to go through the whole thing? You brought back things you haven't.
Unsettling, yes. Unsettling. I should be unsettled now. My wife says, you know, when I come home, when I used to come home from reunions, unsettles you, she said.
Yeah.
I should be unsettled.
Yeah. Well, you can.
I was all up until this point. Now I'm a bit unsettled.
Yeah. But you can think now that you've actually put this down on tape, and this will be preserved.
Yes, but
for all time.
There's a lot of things have been. Have been missed.
Nobody can include
everything. No.
You can't. You just can't. But this will be preserved, this record will always be preserved now. And it'll be there for future generations. So, right. So, Ronald, thank you very much indeed. This is the end of Reel 10.